Title: CPU-Friendly Jungle Production Habits, Intermediate, Ableton Live. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing something that will save your sessions, your laptop fan, and honestly your motivation. CPU-Friendly Jungle Production Habits in Ableton Live, because jungle and drum and bass are basically a stress test. You've got chopped breaks, layered bass resampling, dubby reverbs and delays everywhere, and then suddenly your CPU meter is doing Parker, and the audio starts crackling right when the groove is finally good. The goal here is to keep live running smooth without killing the vibe. By the end, you'll have a CPU-efficient jungle sketch, a breakbeat bus with a main break plus a ghost layer, a rolling sub and reese that don't require a million devices, two return tracks doing most of the space work, and a workflow where you commit the heavy stuff to audio using freeze, flatten, and resampling. Classic jungle mentality, modern stability. Let's start with the mindset. Treat CPU like a budget, not I'll deal with it later. More like, you're allocating resources on purpose. Sketch phase, keep everything playable, minimal heavy processing, no ultra quality modes. Sound design phase, okay, you can spike the CPU, but the moment you get something sick, you print it. Arrange and mix phase, you want the set to be mostly audio so the CPU meter barely moves. If a sound is doing its job and you're not changing the synth patch or the effect settings anymore, turn it into audio and move on. That is the entire philosophy of finishing fast, especially in jungle. Step 0, set your system up for performance. Go into preferences, then audio. Sample rate, 44.1 kHz is the CPU-friendly choice. If you're a 48K person and your computer handles it, fine, but 44.1 is a real headroom saver. Buffer size depends on what you're doing. If you're writing and arranging, sit around 256 to 512 samples. If you're recording live MIDI or playing in a part and latency is messing with you, drop to 64 or 128 temporarily, record the part, then bump the buffer back up. That temporarily part matters. A lot of people leave it low, and then wonder why the project feels like it's falling apart. Also, in the options menu, don't leave reduced latency when monitoring on unless you're actually tracking audio live. It can create extra strain and weirdness when you don't need it. And one more habit, keep live CPU meter visible. Not to obsess over it, just glance at it every time you add something known to be heavy, like convolution, reverb, oversampling, or big unison stacks. Now step 1. Build a DNB template that saves CPU every single time. You're going to do this once, then save it as your default template set, so every new session starts organized and efficient. Make a drums group. Inside it, create an audio track called Break Main, another audio track called Break Layer or Ghost, and then that group itself is effectively your drum bus where you'll do your main processing. Make a bass group with a sub track and a reese track. Make a music or FX group for stabs, vocals, atmos, whatever. Then set up two return tracks. Return A is short verb, return B is dub delay. This is one of the biggest CPU wins in the whole lesson. One shared reverb, one shared delay, instead of 10 separate reverbs and delays as inserts across the project. That's how you get that my set was fine, and then I added 3 more atmospheric channels, and now it crackles situation. On return A, put hybrid reverb if you want, but keep it algorithmic mode, not convolution, because algorithmic is lighter. Keep decay short, like 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. High pass the reverb around 250 to 400 Hz so the low end stays clean, and set wet to 100%, because returns are meant to be fully wet. On return B, use echo. Sync it to an eighth note or quarter note, feedback around 25 to 45%, and filter it. High pass around 200 to 400 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10K so it doesn't just spray hiss all over your breaks. Wet at 100%, again because it's a return. Quick teacher tip, after the reverb or delay on the return, put an EQ8. This is such a jungle move. High pass 250 to 500, low pass 8 to 12K. It keeps the shared space sounding intentional instead of messy, and it stops the break hiss builds up until your mix is sandpaper problem. Step 2. Efficient breakbeat workflow without ending up with 12 drum racks and 70 tracks. Drop a break into break main. Amen, think, whatever you're into. Now, warp settings matter for both tightness and CPU sanity. Turn warp on, set the warp mode to beats, preserve set to transients. Then adjust the envelope, maybe around 20 to 40% depending on how sharp you want it. Set your project tempo somewhere jungle friendly, like 160 to 175 BPM. Now consolidate, grab a 1 to 4 bar loop, and consolidate it so it's one clean clip. That's not just neatness, It prevents you from building a confusing web of edits. For chopping, you've got two good options. Option A is super CPU friendly, manual audio slicing. Duplicate your consolidated clip and use split on key hits, then rearrange. This costs almost nothing because it's just audio edits. Option B is still efficient. Slice to new MIDI track. Choose transient slicing and use Simpler, not Sampler. Simpler is lighter and gets the job done for this. Here's the key CPU habit, and it's also a key jungle habit. Once you like the chop pattern, resample it. Make a new audio track called Breakprint. Set its input to resampling. Record 8 or 16 bars of your break performance. Now you've got an audio clip that represents the whole groove, with all the slicing and the feel baked in. Then disable the original slice track, or freeze and flatten it. The idea is, you keep the source around if you need revisions, but you're not running all that slicing and playback overhead constantly for the rest of the session. Coach note here, stop warping what doesn't need warping. Warping is great for breaks, but for one-shots, printed resamples, most FX hits, you should turn warp off. It reduces background processing and prevents weird transient smearing. A lot of intermediate producers warp everything by default, and it's a silent performance drain. Step 3. Drum bus processing that doesn't melt your laptop. Process mostly on the drum bus group. Not per hit. Not per slice. A solid stock chain is EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, and maybe saturator. On EQ8, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. Jungle doesn't need sub-rumble from the break. If it's muddy, gently dip around 200 to 350. If you want air, a tiny shelf around 8 to 12K can help, but be careful because breaks already bring a live hiss. On drum bus, drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch low or off unless you want grit. Boom only if you're not already heavy in the sub, keep it subtle, maybe 0 to 20% around 50 to 60 Hz. On glue compressor, go for control not destruction. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Optional saturator with soft clip on, 1 to 4 dB of drive. The CPU habit here is simple. Don't put heavy dynamics and saturation on every single slice. Bus processing is cleaner, cheaper, and honestly more cohesive. Step 4. Rolling bass with minimal devices. We're doing a sub and a res. On the sub track, load operator. Oscillator is a sine wave. That's your clean foundation. Add EQ8 and low pass around 120 to 200 Hz depending on how bright your res is, basically leaving only what the sub needs to be. Then sidechain compress it from your drums, or from a dedicated ghost kick if you want consistent pumping. Ratio around 4 to 1, fast attack like 1 to 5 milliseconds, release 60 to 120 milliseconds, and a couple dB of gain reduction, maybe 2 to 6 depending on how much movement you want. Also mono the sub. Put utility on the sub, set width to 0%. Sub in stereo is a fast way to lose headroom and create translation issues. This is not where you get creative with width. Now the res track, use wavetable or operator. Two saws or a rich wavetable, but keep unison modest. Unison is a CPU eater. People crank it early, and then wonder why the project struggles. Add auto filter low pass 24 and use a small envelope amount for movement. That's a CPU light way to get animation without stacking modulators. Add chorus ensemble with light settings, low amount, slow rate, just enough to whiten and smear a bit. Add saturator with soft clip for weight. Now the commitment habit. When the res is hitting, freeze it. If you're done designing, flatten it. You just bought yourself CPU headroom for arrangement, and arrangement is where songs actually get finished. Step 5. Space effects. Send, don't insert. Instead of putting echo and reverb on every drum channel, use your returns. Send snares and rims to return A at something like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. Send vocals and FX hits to return B, maybe minus 20 to minus 8. Those numbers aren't rules, but they're a good starting place. Advanced variation. If your return reverb or delay is washing out the drums, don't add more inserts to fix it. Duck the return. Put a compressor on the return track and sidechain it from the drum bus. Fast attack, medium release, and just 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. Now the reverb blooms in the gaps instead of masking the punch. This is that pro space that moves with the groove sound, and it stays CPU efficient because you're still using one shared return. Step 6. Arrangement habits that save CPU and finish tracks. Think in 8 to 16 bar blocks. It's not just a music thing, it's a workflow thing. Try a structure like 16 bar intro, filtered break and some FX. 16 bar drop, full drums and bass. 16 bar variation, change the chop or add a bass fill. 16 bar second drop, then an 8 or 16 bar outro, and here is a big one. Print your feature moments. If you make a nasty 2 bar bass resample or a perfect break fill, resample it to audio and reuse it as a motif. That reduces devices and makes the tune more coherent. You're building a vocabulary of moments instead of adding new complexity every time. Also, disable unused tracks. Not just mute. Turn off devices using the activator switch, and if you're done with the whole group, deactivate it. Muted tracks can still cost CPU if devices are running, especially if monitoring is on. Which brings me to monitoring discipline. When you're not recording or actively playing an instrument, set tracks to auto, not in. Disable input monitoring on tracks you're done tracking. Monitoring chains keep devices awake, and that hidden cost adds up. Another sneaky CPU saver. Clip gain and simpler metering beats adding processors. Before you reach for yet another compressor or saturator, adjust the clip gain on your break prints and resampled bass. Keep headroom on buses. Jungle gets loud fast, and bad gain staging leads to fix-it plugin stacks, which is both CPU-heavy and usually worse-sounding. Step 7. Know your CPU villains. Multiple instances of hybrid reverb in convolution mode. Oversampling modes on heavy plugins. Too many wave-eatable unison voices. Too many tracks doing real-time time stretch when they don't need it. And huge sampler polyphony where slices overlap and pile up. The habit is consistent. If something is set, print it. Jungle was built on committing to audio. It's not just nostalgia. It's efficient. Now let's add a couple sound and workflow extras that are really useful. Two-stage drums is a killer method. Keep a clean break edit version with minimal devices. Then make a dirty print, distort, clip, maybe a tiny bit of redux, then resample it. Arrange with the dirty audio, but keep the clean source muted for revisions. That way you get heavy vibe, without running heavy processing live for the whole track. For break micro variation without extra racks, duplicate your printed break clip across sections and do variations at the clip level. This audio version is shortened for playback.